Hi, and welcome to the Fiercely Holistic Podcast with your hosts, functional nutritional therapy practitioners, Kristen Mahaley and Sierra Shea.
With this platform, we're going to be your bold advocates, making healthy living achievable by providing small, tangible changes that will encourage your body to regain balance.
I'm Kristen, board-certified holistic nutritionist and FNTP, owner of Nourish Holistic Health and Nutrition. I live on a farm in Bradford, New Hampshire, with my hunter husband, Dean, our Newfoundland Edison, German Shepherd, Ovi, and an ever-expanding flock of chickens, ducks, and the bunny, Emmy Lou.
I'm Ciara, Juris Doctor and FNTP, owner of Aura Nutrition and Wellness. I live on Long Island, New York, with my incredible husband, Tim, beautiful baby girl, Libby, and two precious Yorkies, Dolce and Cole. Let's dive in. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Fiercely Holistic Podcast. This is part two of a three-part series where Kristen and I are debunking nutrition myths. So in part one, we spoke all about chicken skin and whether or not that was good to eat. So if you have not listened to that episode, please go back. And that is a really good one. Today we were talking all about butter. So before we jump into the actual myth of butter, we want to start by giving you this overarching statement that we gave in our first episode and that we will give in our next episode. There are many generalizations when it comes to food. So when we are talking about what is best for you and your body, it is very rarely black and white. It is a very, very nuanced approach. So what may be good for you may not be good for us and vice versa. So this series, the intention is to help you break down the myths, but understand that really what we're telling you is that sourcing, quality, and bio-individuality really, really matter when it comes to each of these myths. So we're going to make sure that you have all the information you need from this episode to make the best decision for you and your body. So let's jump into it, and we're going to talk about the myth of butter. So the myth here is that butter causes heart disease, so choosing margarine or a butter alternative is a better choice. Okay. Go ahead, Kristen. I see you like, yeah.
So see, this is one that really hits home from Weight Watchers. I don't know if you feel that way too. The chicken skin one, I will admit, like back in the day, like I listened to it, but I always still enjoyed it. Like
well, I remember I was a vegetarian.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you didn't do the chicken
skin. No, that wasn't
but a thing. My mom would roast like the most beautiful chicken and it'd come out and she'd leave it on the top of the stove to sit while she'd make gravy. And I remember we'd all like go over and lift the tinfoil and like pick little pieces of the chicken skin because it was so tasty. But butter, there was a total fear of, I think because butter was a lot of points in Weight Watchers back in the day. So that was one like, oh my goodness, you know, only have a little teaspoon. And I grew up, we'd have like our butter, what it looked like now compared to the butter I love, which is Kerrygold, which is grass-fed. It's literally like the color of gold. The butter I grew up with was white. Like either, you know, the store bought like the generic brand or like Land O'Lakes, it was white. Like that's what I thought butter was. So, which gets into the fat difference. Yeah. But yeah, this is a big one. This is really a big one.
So I just really quickly looked up butter and Weight Watchers points because Kristen and I were both on Weight Watchers for a very long time. And for one tablespoon of butter is 5 points.
Oh my gosh.
And what did we get? Like 20 something points a day?
I think I got 27.
Okay. So we'll just leave it at that. Like, right. Of course you're going to be terrified, right? This is a very high fat. The same thing with avocado. I think avocado is like 5 or 6 points. Mm-hmm. And nobody would eat that. And yes, these higher fat foods are going to have more calories, but a calorie is just not a calorie, right? These beautiful foods that may be high in calories, but also have really beautiful properties, like complex nutrient-dense nutrition properties. We want these foods. So here is the thing. Butter is nature's perfect fat. I want to say too, as we're speaking of butter, this also, and correct me if you disagree, Kristen, will extend to ghee, right? So ghee is just clarified butter. So although the properties of ghee are a little bit different, it is still the same idea. So ghee is another really great choice, but butter is nature's perfect fat. There are so many benefits of butter. The first is that it contains vitamin D in and of itself. So this is a nutrient that is vital for bone growth and development. Butter has calcium, which is also essential for bone strength. It helps prevent diseases like osteoporosis, which is a condition specifically that makes bones weak and fragile. And butter can actually make your skin healthier. The beautiful fats is going to have supple, allow you to have supple skin. Butter contains vitamin K2, which is vital for brain health. I don't know about Henry yet, but Livy literally will ask for butter. Like, she will like, can I have a piece of butter? That would never be something that I would be allowed to do. We didn't even have butter. So I think it's going to be a really important episode to understand the background of where this myth came from. But what I will say before we get in there, in addition to these, you know, nutritional properties, butter makes food taste good, right? Yes. So one of the things that I say to so many of my clients is when they're beginning their health journey and they are beginning to incorporate fats and beginning to cook more for themselves is that you could do so much with just butter and salt in the kitchen. I mean, really any recipe is going to be delicious with just butter and salt. So know that it is a really important, really crucial role of fat that plays in your body. If you want to know more about the roles that fat play in your body, please go back to our macronutrients episode, episode number 9, where we talk all about the reasons that fat is good for you. But Chris, let's take it away and really get to the bottom of where this myth came from.
Perfect. And yes, Henry does love butter. He's not talking yet, but he like will put it on things and you see, like he'll smack his lips and then I'll just give him some like straight Kerrygold and he's like loving life. So we always joked as FNTPs. I remember one of our first weekends, Sierra, like one person just put out a block of Kerrygold butter and people were taking Mary's Gone crackers and dipping it in the butter. And it was like, do you want some cracker with your butter? Like the butter was the main thing.
Yeah.
So good. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think I found my people, my new people. Cause you know, even 4 or 5 years before that, I would have been like, oh, what are they doing?
I had that same experience with someone had made homemade chips in chicken fat.
Oh
my gosh. That was my experience. Like, oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway, go on. Yeah, do it.
So there was a shift. There's starting to be more of a shift with butter. There was an article in Time magazine called Eat Butter. And in that article, it discussed that in 2019, Americans spent more than $2 billion on butter compared to $1.8 billion on spreads and margarine. So we can start to see just by, you know, purchasing habits that there's a shift occurring going back to butter. And it is so prevalent in French cooking, like Julia Child's butter made everything better. So I think we're starting to come around to it, but once again, it's the quality. So in 1910, the average American consumed almost 19 pounds of butter per person. Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy.
Like there was a lot of butter consumed, which is great. And I would dare to say in 1910, the butter most likely came from like the milkman from pastured grass-fed cows. There never used to need to be all these like buzzwords added to food because it just, all food was organic at the time.
It was just real
food. It was just food. Like a carrot was a carrot. I always joke that if I ever wrote a food book, I'd name it like back when a carrot was truly a carrot because, you know, you didn't have to ask like, oh, is that the organic butter, the grass-fed butter or the non? It just was butter. So will butter stay? Sadly, probably not because the big food pharma industry has already inflicted so much damage about the fear of butter and fat. There's actually no butter or whole milk allowed in school lunches, in public school lunches, and that's mandated by these ironclad regulations. It's really difficult to change, but now we have a fabulous new lawyer in the house, Sierra, who I think will be ruffling some feathers here. But anyway, the industrial oil industry was really quick to pick up on trends, and they saw that we can demonize nature's perfect fat. We can demonize butter so that we have people come to our side, like come to the dark side of oils and margarine. And margarine was really designed to be a shelf-stable food. It was excellent for shipping overseas during World War II. It was very prevalent in the Industrial Revolution. There were a lot of shifts with margarine versus butter, because butter would need to stay in the refrigerator, or like I personally keep butter on my countertop, but you can only keep it on the countertop for so long, or in a little French butter container where you put a little water in the bottom. So anyway, the margarine once again was out of convenience, just like we've talked about peanut butter not separating, out of convenience. So there's a little more backstory that I want to share with you. And that's, why do we hate butter as Americans when you look at these other cultures where butter is like a no-brainer? Well, in 1956, the American Heart Association, AHA, did a fundraiser. And this actually aired on like three major networks. And the interviewee, among others, were present, discussed like why we need to focus on certain fats and the connection to heart disease. Irving Page, Jeremiah Stamler of the American Heart Association, and researcher Dr. Ansel Keys were all present on this interview. And the panelists presented this lipid hypothesis as the cause of heart disease and the cause of the heart disease epidemic that we started to see increasing in the 50s. So this launched what was called the Prudent Diet. And this was when the big staples would become corn oil and margarine and chicken and more lean foods, and that replaced butter, lard, beef, eggs. So the interviewee actually did like ruffle some feathers and start to bring up this dispute, like, well, why would we get away from this whole food of butter and move to margarine? And basically, it was like it fell on deaf ears. The American people were really scared by the results that researcher Ansel Keys showed, which once again, like I said, if you type in his study on heart disease and the link with fats, it has been completely adjusted. Basically, if you look at the data, see, which I know you've seen the study, but I wish we could have like television with our episode right now. When you look at the graph, everyone, you're going to see all these different statistics and little like dots on the graph. And then he took a line to make it look like as the increase in fat is completely tied to the increase in heart disease. So one of the like axles on the graph was heart disease, and then the other one was fat. So he tried to show this direct correlation with the growth, because he removed like all the floating random markers on the top and the bottom of the line that he drew in. Like he literally just cut them out, which you can't do. That's totally unethical. So this was what the American Heart Association held as truth. Like that was kind of what they stood on. So even though, you know, the MC here interviewing these researchers and doctors kind of questioned things a little bit, people saw that graph and were scared and held on to this. And this was what encouraged the move towards the margarine, towards avoiding lard, you know, getting rid of lard. We talked about how lard was what McDonald's French fries were fried in, and then that shifted, getting away from lard, what we fried, you know, potato chips in, getting away from eggs. So this is where kind of the butter hate started. And so that was 1956, and it's kind of held on. Like, there have been highs and lows, and, you know, if you're going to cooking school, like, oh, I indulged in some butter. Like, we talk about it as such a rich indulgence, but it truly is, like Sierra was saying, nature's perfect fat. So getting back, will butter stay? I hope so. I hope we can talk about the shift here. However, I think there's just been so many years of ingrained kind of doctrine, like a this ingrained, what's the word I want to use, C?
I mean, yeah. I think indoctrinated is an appropriate one, and that's what you were about to say. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's really sad. Like, we are just, I think we don't have time as individuals to research each and everything. And so we have to believe the overarching cultural truth. Like, I don't even want to call it a truth, but like,
statement or belief.
Belief. Like, yes, what is culturally what we're doing? And unfortunately,
believe these big. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
Like, believe these big companies that we put our faith in, like the American Heart Association, like, just dumbing it down, like, you would think, oh, that's the Heart Association for all of Americans. Right. And I'm an American, right. So I'm going to listen to that. Right. You know? So I just want to segue a little bit to talk about one of our beloved, like, pillars in research for becoming FNTPs, and that was Dr. Weston A. Price. And he was a dentist who looked at the connection between ancestral foods and dental health. However, along the way, he really got excited about vitamin K2, MK4. He actually called it Activator X. And this is found only in grass-fed butter. Like the butter from the cow that ate grass in the sunlight, then was milked, and the butter was made, churned from that milk from that cow. So it's going to be more yellow from the presence of this vitamin K2, MK4, or Activator X. And Dr. Weston A. Price shares a quote in his book, Nutritional Degeneration, that I just want to share with all of you. So he said, Activator X, which we know is present in grass-fed butter, is an essential role in the maximum utilization of bodybuilding minerals and tissue components. Its presence can be demonstrated readily in the butter fat of milk of mammals, the eggs of fishes, and the organs and fats of animals. It has been found in highest concentration in the milk of several species, varying with the nutrition of the animal. Side note, what the animal eats, we eat. And it is synthesized by the mammary glands and plays an important role in infant growth and in reproduction. So when we get the butter from a cow who's never seen sunlight, the poor thing, been pumped with hormones to keep her producing milk even when she's no longer has a calf nursing her naturally, when she's force-fed grain and loaded with steroids and hormones to accelerate her growth process so that they can just keep churning these cows out, that butter will not have this vitamin K2, MK4 present. And you're not going to get these wonderful benefits. But when you do have that grass-fed butter, this can help with brain development. That's probably why Livy and Henry love butter. It literally feeds the brain. Every cell in your body, the cell wall is made up of healthy fats. So if we're starving the body of proper fats, your cells aren't going to communicate in an ideal way. It helps with neurological development, fertility, and reproduction, reducing inflammation in the joints, helping with memory. So looking at the connection with adulterated fats and Alzheimer's or dementia, and it's incredibly present in cardiovascular health. So this is the big myth of butter broken down.
I love it. I love all of this. And the one thing that I want to say in touching on bioindividuality, depending on where you come from in the world, depending on where your ancestors are from, butter may or may not have been an ingredient that was widely used, right? So let's just talk about people from the Mediterranean region, Italy, right? Like, yes, butter was a thing, but really, like, olive oil was more of a thing. So your body may do better on other types of fat than butter. I just wanted to leave you with that because, like, I know for me and my body, I probably feel better on olive oil, incorporating more olive oil than I do with butter. I could probably have endless amounts of butter.
Right.
But I just wanted to say that. So that leads to, like, this bio-individuality. What is good for you may not be good for me, and vice versa. And these really generalized, quote, food facts are just not black and white. They are very nuanced. So we hope, as with every other episode, you feel empowered, inspired, motivated to be able to make the best choices for you, your body, your family. And we hope to see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening. And we hope this gets your wheels turning.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fiercely Holistic podcast. If you loved this episode, head over to iTunes to subscribe and leave a review to help us grow. You can find Kristen at nhhnutrition.com and Ciara at auranutrition.com. If you have any thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover, please email us at fiercelyholistic@gmail.com.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. The views and opinions expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved.